your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hugo, I truly appreciated your comment on the rationale behind this talk about funding the police. That isn't necessarily a hard and fast rule, as I understand what you're saying. It isn't to say let's cut the entire law enforcement budget. It's to say let's look at a way to change the way that the law enforcement agencies are operating so that more safety is involved for our people. Am I correct in that, sir?
Yes, it's in creating an atmosphere where all communities are welcomed and feel that they're equally protected under the law. And I think in order to achieve that, you need to build bridges between different people that have different opinions and engage in discussion and debate in looking to resolve the systemic problems. It's not about the individual person per se, although of course in certain circumstances that is the case. It is about overhauling the entire system, not just to say because it's broken, but because we should always be in a state of improvement. You know, retain what works, change what doesn't, and be inclusive and transparent in the process along the way.
That makes a lot of sense. I think that should be actually the first part of our news show, because if people could do that, we wouldn't have any problems today. Remember the couple that the woman was holding a gun and the husband was holding a rifle to protect their home? That is something that they're being charged with, that they did something wrong. And the question is, what were their other options? They were protecting themselves from vandalism, and we couldn't have done anything different. I mean, would you have suggested that they didn't stand in front of their house to protect themselves?
Hard for me to say, because even in media, what we're seeing is somewhat limiting. We think we know the full story based on a video that's shared in social media, but that isn't the complete picture. Not being there limits us from having the complete context of the situation. So while I would, in most cases, say it is best not to engage any situation armed, I can't tell you what they were thinking, what they were looking at, as well as the protesters that, again, from what I saw, appeared to be peacefully marching and not provoking or engaging that couple. But I think any situation, what we see in media is limiting, and we need to ask the questions like you did. Could there have been an alternative? I'm sure there could have been an alternative to that situation and many other situations. I just think I could not responsibly comment because of the limitations that I had in just looking at a piece of video.
Hugo, I have to say that's one of the most intelligent comments that I have ever heard on what has turned into being an emotional situation. Frida, thanks for asking that question. That's a very good point, sir. You're on.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation unless you're in it. And I guess the fear factor has a big decision-making value as well. To have people standing in front of your home you don't really know could have just been something preventative. That's true. May have been nothing. That's true as well. But I'm just wondering, as you're speaking about this, this could be very politically oriented as well. Do you think it's possible that the Democrats are afraid to ask Trump for help, are afraid to take Trump's help in having police enforcement prevent all this chaos, exactly where I'm going with socialism and chaos with Biden? It's a fear factor in itself. So we have all these challenges, and they're geared towards having a certain appearance to the public and not necessarily having safety for our citizens. And that's a huge issue as well. When we hear that we need to defund policemen from doing their job because they're killing black young men, that's something that's a generalization. So I'd like to hear from you, your point of view as far as this political system we're involved with the Democrats rejecting these police officers.
Well, I think everything, unfortunately, now is political, right? If we even think about COVID-19 and wearing masks, it's something that should be led by science has turned political. And that is symptomatic of a larger problem, in our political system. And I would say in the last 4 years since Donald Trump became president, from the out of the gate, and I don't necessarily, as an observer and as a journalist, I think there is as much to blame on the conservative side as there is on the liberal side. And I would even go further to say that media in certain circumstances perpetuates that divide. So unfortunately, everything's political. And even as you mentioned, asking for help in certain situations, it is often questioned as it not being in the best interest of the public, but either asking for help or not asking for help, decisions being made based on which party you are from. And that's, I think, the problem. And I think that's the dissatisfaction that we saw in 2016 in the election of Donald Trump. I think to nothing in that regard, the country has become even more divided, in most recently with the death of George Floyd, and also in the government's handling of COVID-19 at the federal, state, and local level. I think it's only going to get worse as we approach the November election. But yes, I think to answer your question, every decision, unfortunately, the public is skeptical of, because of the rift in the relationship between Democrats and Republicans, which we know it has always been a tug of war, but even more so under the Trump administration. And I think that we'll see, what the public thinks in November and how they vote.
I think I have a last question. We have about a minute and a couple seconds to go. I just was wondering, as far as you're concerned, talking to you about your lecturing and your speeches and your visibility about discrimination, what has been your biggest concern that you feel needs to be impacted and changed as far as discrimination is concerned?
25 seconds, Hugo.
I think the biggest thing is the lack of inclusivity. I think a lot of people, when they talk about racism, they talk about diversity, the first thing they gravitate to is the optics. It's about gender. It's about race. It's about age. When we really need to be talking about all facets of diversity, including experience and things that are not, easily seen, like sexual orientation and ideology. I think once we start to focus on inclusion and not just diversity, then we really have a chance at eradicating some of the racism that exists systematically across all facets of our lives.
I got to tell you guys, this is one of the best interviews I've ever had on this particular subject. Hugo, thank you so very much, sir.
Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.